The question of whether silicone breast implants are safe was first taken up by the Food and Drug Administration 20 years ago. Now an advisory committee to the FDA is taking up the issue again. NPR's Joanne Silberna reports on why a conclusion is so difficult to reach.
Silicone gel breast implants can be used for women who have had mastectomies or have malformed breasts, but the FDA has rejected the implants for women who simply want larger breasts. Their only option is saline implants, which often wrinkle and are less natural looking. Yesterday, an advisory committee to the FDA voted 5-4 to recommend that the agency not approve the implants for general use. The vote came after the committee heard 2 days of conflicting testimonials.
My silicone implants are pliable and comfortable, contouring to both my body and my clothing. They even move when I dance.
After 6 years, I started to get sick with joint pain, muscle pain, skin problems, dry mouth, and dry eyes.
And FDA scientists and others presented the results of dozens of studies. Epidemiologist Diana Zuckerman, head of the National Center for Women and Families, testified that the implants are a bad idea. During a break in the hearing, Zuckerman said scientific reports can't necessarily be trusted.
The majority of studies conclude that breast implants are safe, but those studies are designed to do that.
By starting out with a small group of women, she says, and only studying them for a short period of time. Zuckerman says some that do identify problems try to minimize them. She leafs through her papers and comes up with an example.
One of my favorites is a Danish study that was published quite recently.
It was in the July 2004 issue of the journal Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, a look at 190 women who received silicone gel breast implants.
It does agree that it does cause pain and hardness, which is no small thing, but that it doesn't cause illness. But in fact, the studies show something different.
Women who got the gel implants reported fatigue and cognitive problems about twice as often as other women. Plastic surgeon Laurie Cassis says the fatigue, the problems thinking in the Danish study, those are self-reported by the women and may not mean anything. She points to other research.
I look at the IOM, Institutes of Medicine report in 2000, and then I look at the NIH report in 2004. Those two reports were the most well documented in terms of the association between silicone gel implants and systemic diseases, and both showed no association.
Both women agree that sometimes the silicone implants contract and harden and they need replacing if they rupture, but Zuckerman estimates the rupture rate as higher than the FDA's broad estimate of anywhere from 21% to 74% over a 10-year period. Casas points to her own rate of a 1% risk over the 15 years she's been doing implants. Casas has 75 patients who want their breasts enlarged, hoping that the FDA won't follow the committee's recommendation. And eventually, the FDA may rule favorably for Inamed. Committee member Stephen Lee said he'd switch his vote to approval if the company comes in with data on women who've had the implants longer than 3 or 4 years.
I think I would probably vote for this unequivocally if you got a third data point, so we just had some idea where this line is going.
An Inamed spokesman said the company will continue to collect data on silicone gel implants used in research trials. Today, the advisory committee will take up the question of whether the FDA should approve silicone implants made by another company, Mentor. Mentor has data on more women than Inamed, but for a shorter period of time. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.